Wednesday.
So it's Aftamutes Vav over here, and it's telling me Lekach Ama Ki Malchus Shlishis Mesiachas Al Chayesh Inamer Shesh Adal Knafayim. He explained that the third Malchus is Seichel, Kain Chachma, and that's why the picture of it is a leopard with four wings. So we saw about the Ian of Chachma of Azus. Now he says, Chachma mispashet bechol tzdod l'reichev l'oirech ve'in l'gvul klal. Rak mispashet bechol mokem. Chachma has a tchuna that it goes everywhere. It's not stopped by anything. And therefore, it goes in all four sides equal. I want to sort of explain the Nekuda here. As you climb up higher in the hierarchy of Chachma, from the material to the abstract, it becomes less and less bound to any specific item. For instance, if you have certain elements, certain ideas that are true in chemistry may not really be true in organic chemistry. They may not function the same way exactly, and it's different. Chemistry works, you know, inorganic chemistry works very well. Inorganic compounds doesn't work all that great with it. Things that are true in physics have no shaykhus to chemistry or to biology. There are some things they intersect, some things don't intersect, but by and large, each discipline is in charge of its own little world. Math supersedes them, and it makes a difference. Whatever you're writing an equation for, whether it's compounded interest or unchecked growth of bacteria or any one of the other any phenomena, will be the same. A curve and statistics, they don't work well for anything, irregardless of it. You can go a step higher, and when you formulate certain rules of logic, math will be subsumed under it. Other things will be subsumed under it. And if you can agree on certain universal rules of logic, everything else would be subsumed under it. So Chachma, as it becomes more and more abstract, is boundless. Doesn't seem to be bound by anything. And that's why the leopard that was Yavan had wings on four sides, because Betzim, it was unbounded. Now, I want to make a comment here, pointed out here on the bottom, but he had started out the Sefer by saying that the four Malchias are Yetzias from the Shoresh. In other words, they go further and further from center. And that's bad. I think the sense over here is the other way around, that Chachma, it doesn't diminish. It's able to subsume everything underneath it, because everything falls under the rubric of Chachma. That's the way he explains it. It will rule over the entire world. Let's give another example. If I try to conquer a country by war, so the success is going to be measured by the amount of people, the equipment I have, the training, sophisticated level of equipment, and so on. But and therefore, my ability to conquer things is going to be limited, and it's going to fit under some very clear physical some physical criteria. If I try to be mashpia on the entire world, if let's say I want to convince the world of communism, if I'm good enough, I need nothing. I need my tongue, and that's it. And I can be mashpia on the entire world. Chachma itself is mispash chol oilam. That's the inner seichel. Ukefi midas ha seichel hoy memshaltem chol oilam. So their memshala was, and the truth was, long after Greece had become nothing, just a bunch of olive trees and kind of bankrupt banks, the chachma shaboy, the ideas and ideals of it, still permeate the world. They don't doesn't have any. It's not limited to what it has. L'kacha malchus hazoyis lehoyim misnagdin Yisrael rak mitzad ha-toyra sichlis on tzad ha-tarun elokis. Their issue was, so they didn't care much about whatever power they had, as long as they would subscribe to the Chachma. If Klal Yisrael countered the Chachma of Yevanis with their own Chachma, that was problematic. They were rejecting the Chachma, and that's where the problem was. The problem wasn't with anything else, as opposed to Rome, where Rome needed sort of the political arena that you consider yourself a subservient state. The Greeks wanted the Hellenist culture to permeate the world, and that was the problem. So they wanted to be mevatel Torah loikis v'chol dvar loiki. He's going on to be mamshich. It's too long for us to do now. I want to speak it out with a different nekuda. He's going to go on the chazal of Kisval Keren Ashor, which the Pashto Pshat is, he tried to remind Klal Yisrael of the chet of the eagle. And the point that he tries to make over here is that there could be a separation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael could detach themselves totally. And our reply is that no, at the end of the day, we're still somewhat attached, and even the worst of matzavim, we're not detached. I want to talk a little bit about this in a deeper oifen. On the most edler oifen of understanding religion vis-a-vis seichel, so. A person, umas ha'olam, certainly mitukanim shebehem, respect religion. But the way it's understood is, it is our ability to create that which is beautiful and noble. So yes, it's a wonderful religion. And it's wonderful to keep it, and everything's good, because this is a person's highest ability. It's to create, it's just like we'd rank beautiful writing as being high up, and beautiful ideas and ideals. Religion, you could put at the top. But the bottom line is, Seichel gave birth to it. One more step. Even if you'll acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's my seichel's decision to recognize, acknowledge it, validate it. So yes, I can even sort of be makir, even though down deep it's a tach v'sasir, but I could be makir that. But again, it's come from seichel, and for some reason that poses less of a threat. If a person ever chas v'shalom could be menatik himself totally. That means that's true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or my sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not tied down to me. It's when I think about it, when I feel like it, when I admit to it. That's what it is. It's a product of myself. I choose to listen to it. So everyone understands that even if you hold it up as being chashuv, you still can sometimes err. That's not a taina. But when they substituted Elal Hech Yisrael, when they substituted a different god a day after, so to speak, a month after that they had a day after they had been close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they put something else in place. So don't you see that at the end of the day, it's what you decide to make your god? Isn't it at the end of the day the Seichel producing the god? And then the Mele, everything else is a Pircha. If you take a look closely at the movements within Judaism that tried to turn away, so you had Reform that said this whole religion thing is not good. They should send it back, get a refund on it, and get something better. Or it was good for a long time, and now we have something else. And so that's kind of fine. That everybody understands is an Akira of the Das and so on. There were other movements. that said, no, it's wonderful and it's great and it's fantastic. And I'll show you why it's great and fantastic and wonderful, and so on and so forth. There was a subtle message, it's great and good and fantastic because we've decided that. It's great and good and fantastic because we uphold it. We understand it. We interpret it. The Reb Shlomo Zalman Hirsch is most virulent lettuce, and he was a very, very, very sharp kanoi. It's interesting that people always write him down as being a very nice guy. He was a wonderful person, a big tzaddik, but he was very sharp, and he came out most sharply against two or three. So he came out sharply against reform is obvious. That's you know, fine. That everyone understands. But there were two or three historians mostly who sort of seemed to be to sit on the same axis as orthodoxy. They fully held that upholding the Torah is a wonderful thing and keeping all the mitzvahs is wonderful and so on and so forth. But the subtle message was the rabbis all decided this is good, realized it's good. There was a message there that it was a decision of seichel and revalidated by our seichel that it's good. That, in a sense, besides the fact that rapidly it will disintegrate, and that will also, you know, once you make that statement, that's a question of time until Seichel decides it's not good. But down deep, that means the Seichel is not a product of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather it is a Dava Bifnei Atzmai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a product of recognition by us. Mashal ma adav adayma. Let's give an example. If I say there's a wall here, let's say even if it's a flimsy wall, and I say I can't go further because there's a wall here, that's one statement. If I say I can't go further than here because it's federally prohibited under death penalty, it's a very different statement. And even if I could break through this wall without dying, but I can't break the other wall, you're talking about two very, very different types of reality. The idea that Seichel would not be the ultimate reality was something that they wouldn't want to face. It's like modern, in a sense, modern science, down deep, collectively, won't accept the designer for the universe. So the official reason is because science can't deal with it. So as scientists, we don't have what to say about it. But that wouldn't allow it to reject it. The real reason is because then you're telling me that Seichel only goes so far. Seichel is an instrument that can measure HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Maisim, but it doesn't supersede it. I can't analyze it. The idea that something exists and is a real Metzias and is not subordinate to Seichel in any sense of the word. It could very well be that my most basic understanding of things just doesn't fit into it, and it's true. It's reality, it exists, and yet a Seichel Seichel only perceives a part of reality. Is difficult for a person whose pride is that understanding is everything. So in the most refined form of Umas Olam, this is the Zelum Aseh. And that's why it's so difficult. It's not just a question of who to give credit to. Do you want to give a HaKadosh Baruch Hu credit to or a monkey credit to? Which one are you giving the credit to? That's not the issue. The issue is the Seichel. By putting a HaKadosh Baruch Hu in on top, you're saying Ad Kan, that we cannot, impossible to understand things beyond a certain point. That goes against the grain of everything that we that's the metzias of modernity. It used to be that whatever the king said was right, and whatever the priest said was right, and whatever the witch said was right, and so on. And we threw that off, and we said, "No, you're all full of it. Everything can be measured, quantified, and we can tell you all about it." And for a lot of things, it was true. Certainly, all the alilim that went down the drain because once we take an alil, and you run a lab test on the allele, he stops being an allele. It's nothing. But then to turn around and say yes, but there is an emes that seichel stops before that emes. That's something that it goes against the grain of yourself as you see it. It then implies that morally, your decisions of what is right and wrong, the fact that you decide X is right is meaningless because your seichel is a short stick. It doesn't cover the whole gamut of right and wrong, becomes very difficult. The idea that there are things that are wrong, even though we can't figure out why they're wrong, is something that does not sit at all. It's against the grain of everything we're taught from grade one and onwards. So Yovan was the sheresh of that. And in a sense, we live with that. We have a hard time justifying a isurim that the world doesn't understand what the problem is. So we search for problems. I mean, yes, I guess when you play the game, so you have to explain why X is really not good, even Lishitascha, and so on. But it's not. I was speaking actually to a group of people that deal with people that are more modern and so on, and how do you explain this? How do you explain this? I said, you know, at the end of the day, no matter how smart we are, we're not going to come up with good explanations for everything. And the reason being because they don't exist. It didn't exist for Etzem. Seichel is a short stick. When you're trying to measure something that's 100 meters long and your stick only measures 10 meters, then you can measure 10 meters, but you can't measure the other 90 meters. Seichel doesn't take you all the way. And therefore, there's a certain humility of a person. There's a certain sense of an imposition. The idea that someone can impose on us what's right and what's wrong does not sit at all with the modern person. So forget the person who's coarse and just wants to do taivis, doesn't care about any of it. And that's fine. He still belongs to Malchus Paras, and all he cares about is a suda and noshim, and that's fine. But for a person who's more refined, who really is noble, who's ideal. But ideals are what I think them to be. And I can argue on that. He's no problem arguing, as long as the argument is between reason to reason. But when the argument is between imposition to reason, between someone superior imposing, so correct, the church in all the ages was no clique and had really very little to impose. Many people who tried to impose right and wrong had no leg to stand on. But that doesn't mean, just because 1,000 Shigoyim think they're Napoleon, doesn't mean Napoleon didn't exist. Yes, there are 1,000 people that think they're Napoleon, but Napoleon does exist. And it's hard. For anyone who has any mago masa with the modern world, this is the core of it, that use your seichel. The only true guide is the seichel. For millenniums, people have imposed all sorts of bad things and narishkeit and stupidities and superstitions. Correct. But seichel, by admission, falls short. And that was why Yavon was so upset about the way in which we were stubborn. And because we were smart people. You know, if a person is a stupid person, the academic community does not have a problem with country bumpkins in Tennessee believing in God. It's fine. It fits with the moonshine together and everything else. It's just perfect. But God forbid somebody who works in a chashva place should express that. He'll have the wrath of the entire community. I don't know if they have a chayrim, a secular chayrim, but the equivalent of a saying chayrim, because it's a stir of etzem. It's something that bothers you. Because in a certain way, you've been kairat tagger on the person. You're telling me that seichel is forcing you to admit that seichel is at the end of it. It's a tough one. Agapanim. So that's why they very much want to use the chet ha'egel and say, you people are also full of it. You're not bound to God by everything, for everything. Yeah, when you're in good mood. But if there was once a time when you said, we'll make do with a different God, then you realize it's all mufka. That was the point. Next year we'll see the Hemshech HaDvarim, where he speaks about Chet HaEgel and so on. Okay. Yesterday, what's it recorded? Yeah, okay. You pull it.